For over a century, or maybe even longer than that, one country has been the largest or the biggest using a certain metric. In 2023, India surpassed them, and today we are the biggest, largest by whichever metric you know I'm talking about.
Population.
Absolutely.
Last year we became like the country with the largest population, surpassing China.
Yeah, we have now 1.43 billion people. Now, my question to both of you is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I like that India is, of course, a growing country. We see that out of the 1.43 billion people, majority are the youth right now. But the disappointing fact is that when we reach the year 2040 or 2050, we might end up like Japan, where we have majority people like either above the age of 40. In the short term, it's very good. We need to leverage it till the 2030s.
I don't think it's a good thing because I don't think we have a human resource development or like education system good enough to sustain so many people. And I don't think that there is enough employment. Like already so much of our workforce is migrating to other countries, like developed countries like the US, Canada, Japan, Korea.
Yeah, it can be looked at in both ways. It's a wonderful way for us to kickstart our conversation today. For all of our listeners, hi, you're listening to What's New Today. This is a podcast about current events shaping our world. I'm Sangeeta, the host of this podcast channel. And joining me today are two children. These two children love reading, love finding out about things that's out there in the real world.
Hello everyone, I am Mitansh. I am from India. I am a 15-year-old and currently I am preparing for my board exams.
Wow, good luck. We are now in December, so your exams are in April.
2 months. No, it's February.
February, okay. That's the last yeah. run. And I'm very happy you're taking time out to read about what's going on in the real world in the middle of doing physics, chemistry, biology and math and all of those subjects. Okay.
You need break from doing that. So it's basically...
I'm happy. What's New Today podcast is your break. I'm thrilled.
Hello everyone. I am Shambhavi Nautiyal from Alcon Public School, New Delhi, India. I am presently 13 years old. And in 9th grade, and I have been on this podcast channel twice before.
Welcome back, Shambhavi. I should say welcome back to Mitansh also. So tell us how you all read news, or what kind of news do you like reading about?
I usually get the newspaper like after our interval, and then we usually don't have time, but I think I am able to read at least the front page, which mostly contains news about like technology, the plans of the Indian government, and foreign news.
So when you say you get the newspaper during the interval, you're talking about your school, is it?
Yeah.
Same. I also read news in the printed format only. I read Times of India. So I majorly, rather than the headlines, I go over the editorial page where there are all these big writers, you know, they write their opinions about various things. So, you know, that really helps shape my opinions and, you know, give me a something different to think. So, yeah, that's quite cool. I read newspapers almost every day. Even if I get a backlog, I try to cover it up then. So, yeah, that's quite an addiction I've grown.
Wonderful. I'm very, very happy. A, to hear that y'all read the news, and B, to hear that y'all read it in the printed format. So neither of you tries to get anything from the digital format. I'm talking about Instagram and...
The major problem being is when you open these social media sites, their algorithms are such that they recommend only some amount of, for example, 5% of the content which I really want to consume. And the rest of the content is something probably I might have watched 1 hour back. But I want to keep myself away from that, right? And in printed format, you don't have a lot of things. The advertisements are also not quite fascinating that you need to really go and check it out.
What about you, Shambhavi? Do you steer clear of social media too? Just like Mitansh says he does.
Okay, in all honesty, As for the internet, I only go for news related to K-pop.
Awesome. Now on to this episode. Now this episode is about talking about some of the important events that have happened in 2023 through the lens of countries and certain big events that have affected the entire world. So you could call it a little bit of geopolitics, a little bit of technology and science, and a little bit of human behavior. So that's what we're going to be talking about. It definitely will have a little bit of history also. Okay, now on to the topic with which we started this episode, which is that India has now surpassed China as the largest country. Now, the largest country in terms of population. What has happened to the developed countries? Are they taking to it very nicely when people from countries like India or China or many other parts of the world where the population is growing and they want to really migrate to these places? Are they taking very kindly to it?
In Australia, since their population rate has grown to be stagnant, most of the people which they are going to allow in their country is the most skilled workers, which are in terms of energy and technology. However, they also want workers who are willing to work on low wages and incomes. So, they are basically revising their visa rules.
So Australia doesn't really want a lot of people coming into their country unless they are seriously skilled. Or the other end of the spectrum, they are people with very low skills, and we'll pay you peanuts, then you can come to our country. So only these two ends of the spectrum Australia is taking to
Also,
kindly, am I right?
students. Like
Oh yeah, also.
giving longer visas to like children who are coming to study at school level, but lesser duration for those who are coming for graduation visa.
So if you want to study in a college or university in Australia, then it's going to be a little harder for you to get a visa, right? Yeah. Okay. Mitaj, what have you seen about this?
I saw that in UK as well, we have the same policies, and they want their population to be as qualified as resourceful as possible.
So by and large, developed countries are making it tougher for people to migrate. Now, it's not just countries like Australia or the UK which are making it harder for people to come into their country now, say compared to 20, 30 years ago. Even a country like China, where population is declining, China does not want to welcome people from outside to come into its country and grow its population. Rather, it wants its own people to have more kids. Why do you think most countries are so against people coming in from outside?
It reminds me of the Nazi ideology. They only wanted the Nordic Aryans to multiply. And here too, like it's better for your own ethnicity to multiply, to have your own characteristic, your own language, to grow your own language and your culture to multiply in your own country. They don't, China doesn't want to look like London. People all over the world roaming around speaking whatever language they want. They want Chinese people.
You put it very nicely, Shyamphavi. Mitansh?
I also think something like that only. I think that if these foreign students come to the some, for example, these developed countries and get themselves educated and get good jobs and hopefully become good CEOs and all, the thing is that their own ethnic workforce will be the kind of isolated, and they will be displaced by these people.
I think this is true pretty much across the universe. Whether it is Australia, whether it is the United Kingdom, whether it is China, most of them are more in favor of ensuring that the ethnicity and the mix of ethnicity in their own native country remains more or less constant. From there, let's just segue into another event that's happened this year, which I think has touched every single one of our lives. It's definitely touched mine. It's very likely to have touched both of you and might have touched every listener who's listening to this episode. So, one piece of technology which really broke out into the world in November 2022, and it probably barged into the life of everybody. Students love it, teachers are very wary of it. writers and actors don't particularly trust it. What am I talking about?
Artificial intelligence, ChatGPT.
So what do you all think of ChatGPT? The way artificial intelligence seems to have taken new shape, especially, I don't know if you all saw Google's Gemini. Has either one of you
seen? Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, what did you think of that? What did you think of ChatGPT? Are you looking at it favorably or are you wary of it?
Artificial intelligence is something that we can't escape from, I think. That's my personal opinion. So I'm quite fascinated by AI, and I think that AI in the future is not going to dominate us, but is going to live with us for the rest of our life. Yeah.
What do you think? Do you like having ChatGPT in your life, or would you rather not have it in your life? Would you rather not anyone have it in their lives? What is your view?
I don't think I specifically like ChatGPT, because like whenever I write essays or anything, my mother always doubts me whether I've used ChatGPT. She does not trust me anymore.
That's a serious pain, yeah.
But like, yeah, apart from that, when I used to like use it for making PowerPoint presentations, so I think it helped me a lot with that.
So basically, neither one of you is seriously wary of ChatGPT taking over lives or things like that.
You know, if social media can do it, then why not ChatGPT? Anything can take over our lives. We are meager creatures and we do not have any self-control.
Oh my God. Such words of wisdom from a young teen. On to another topic, which is the world split into two poles, possibly, which is the Israel-Hamas conflict, or should we say the Israel-Palestine conflict. Mitansh, do you want to quickly just sum up what's happened so far?
So, as far as we can trace it back, I think Israel-Palestine war, it began as soon as Israel as a country was created. But I feel the Palestinians and the Israelis have their own views to support their points. It started with the Hamas provoking when it did the 7,000 rockets. It's a chain reaction where if you start something, you have to face its consequences. When the Israel-Hamas war broke out right now, we all know after every war, it's the major casualty is the common people living in across the globe, I would say. But I hope that, you know, both these countries negotiate on their part. So yeah, I hope really that peace comes very soon.
Shambhavi, have you been following the war?
No, like not from the start. I wasn't even born. But like, yeah, I think...
Not 1948. Talking about the war, the conflict that just started in October. Do you have a prediction to make about what you think might happen, say, a couple of months down the line? What you would like to see?
I have a fantasy.
Fantasy? Yeah, let's hear it. Does it involve dragons?
No. Or maybe the Israel and Palestine should be combined again, and 50% should be given to both the Jews and the Arabs. Though I do have a doubt that why did the Palestinians needed to be like dispossessed from their homes? They could have just stayed there in Israel. Then why did they have to leave?
You're talking about which time frame when they were dispossessed and they were asked to leave?
I think when Israel was formed, right after that.
In 1948?
Yes.
Okay, so the formation of Israel, a little history is this, that sometime in the 1917 or 18, there was something called a Balfour Declaration that was announced or made to the world. So there was this man called Lord Balfour sitting in the United Kingdom. So a lot of people sitting really far away from these places who don't know much about the geography, the demographics, nothing they will know. But because they will listen to the views of two or three close friends and with whom they'll drink a good cup of coffee, and they will come up with grand ideas and designs of how the world must move on. One of his good friends was a man who was a Jew, who felt that the Jews should get back their land, or, you know, sort of get back to their promised land. Because for more than 1,000 years, the Jews had left Israel, which is also called the Holy Land or the Promised Land, and they'd been dispersed to many parts of the world. So they felt, it was called Zionism, and they felt that we should get back to our land. So Lord Balfour said, "Don't worry, we'll help you with it. Just don't worry about it." And so promptly a bunch of troops from Britain marched into the area which we today called Israel plus Palestine. This was right after the end of the Ottoman Empire. So this part of the land used to be part of the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman king, whom the British had earlier approached and had sought his help, had said that, you know what, this land belongs to my people. In good faith, I cannot just carve out this land and tell you that this is for the Jews. The Ottoman king, however, lost his empire, and after that, the Turkish Republic was formed, and all of that happened, and the pieces of land broke up. So, because Lord Balfour had promised his good friends that, you know what, we're going to carve out a land for the Jews, in all fairness, in the rest of the world, the Jews were also facing a lot of discrimination. We do know what has happened to the, what had happened to the Jews in the Second World War and all of that, right? So, Jews started coming to their promised land in larger and larger numbers. So where will they set up land for themselves? Where will they set up homes? So the only way out was you had to ask some people who lived there to move out. That's how dispossession happened.
It's basically a fight for independence and, you know, for territory. You have two options. None of it is the best. You need to choose the better. On one end, you keep on this conflict alive for the next century and keep on fighting for these pieces of lands. Otherwise, the second option is, I don't think the Israelis are in the state of compromising. And I think that, you know, the second way out is, you know, the Palestinians or the Arabs basically try to overthrow this Hamas, or I think the US is capable of doing it, US and the Israelis combined. And the Palestinians basically live alongside the Jews in the same territory, and there is nothing called Palestine or there is nothing called Israel. It's just one state.
You know, that makes me believe that not much has changed since like the time of this book.
She's talking about Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. For those of our listeners who are not watching this on video.
It's still like the 1800s. It's just a bunch of people sitting next to a hearth, deciding the future of the world.
Thank you so much, Mitansh. Thank you so much, Shambhavi, for sharing your thoughts. And please continue to read the newspaper in its printed form, unaffected by any algorithms. It's always a safe place to get your news. Or, of course, you can come to Watch New Today podcast, where we try to keep it as simple and straightforward, mostly with just facts. It's very refreshing to hear perspectives of people who are not weighed down by either the news that we've all read when we were kids, or y'all come with a fresh point of view. You know, why fight unnecessarily? You know, enough of it. The conflict's done. The country has been created. Let's accept it. Thank you once again. Bye bye.
Bye, bye, everyone.
Pleasure working with you.